This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك لك الحمد حتى ترضى ولك الحمد إذا رضيت ولك الحمد بعد الرضا. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, I greet you with the greetings of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to episode number 25, the final episode of season 2. Subhanallah. Blast from the past, seerah in the 21st century. First things first. All praises belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we seek His assistance, and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of our souls and the adverse consequences of our deeds. Whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees guidance upon, then none can misguide him. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees misguidance upon, then none can guide him. And peace and salutations be upon the final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship besides one Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. My dear brothers and sisters, yesterday we were traversing through lessons from the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Medina. The last lesson we discussed was the fadl, the honor, and the virtues of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And today we want to kick off this final session talking about, in a small way, Ali radiallahu anhu. Ali radiallahu anhu. And the reason why Ali comes to light and comes to mind in this final episode and in the discussion surrounding the hijrah is because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he commanded Ali radiallahu an to sleep in his bed as he went to meet Abu Bakr radiallahu an and left for the hijrah. So he commanded Ali that, look, you will sleep in my bed. Now, you know, what will make us understand who Ali radiallahu an was? Ali radiallahu anhu was a man known for his wisdom. He was a man known for his courage. He was a man known for his bravery. And he was the man that was practically brought up by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because we know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also practically brought up by who? Abu Talib, the father of Ali radiallahu anhu. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to reciprocate the kindness because Ali was from the sons of Abu Talib, and Abu Talib had many children, and Abu Talib was not very well to do. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took his young son Ali and brought this boy into his home, right? The home that he shared with Khadija radiallahu anha. And we discuss a lesson from this in season 1 of Blast from the Past. I won't tell you what, I'll let you go and listen to it yourself and view it. And we discuss it in particular when we talk about the marriage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Khadija radiallahu anha, and the important lesson of rights versus responsibilities in marriage. So go and revise that lesson inshaAllah. So this was a boy practically brought up by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was from the youth the first to accept Islam naturally. Naturally, he was the first from the youth to accept Islam, radiallahu anhu. And he also was the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Virtue after virtue after virtue. Sahal ibn Sa'ad, radiallahu anhu, says that he heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say on the day of Khaybar. He says that I heard him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, I will give the flag to a man at whose hands Allah will grant victory. Allahu Akbar. Allah will grant victory. So they got up wishing to see to whom the flag will be given. Each of them hoping that this flag would be given to them. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, where is Ali? Allahu Akbar. Where is Ali? This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. And they told him that Ali was not available. Why? Because he was ill. Why? Because he was suffering from some eye trouble. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded that Ali be brought forth to him. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed his saliva in the eyes of Ali radiallahu anhu. and his eyes became healed. Subhanallah. We spoke about Abu Bakr when he was stung, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed his saliva on the sore of Abu Bakr, and the pain disappeared. A little bit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and everything becomes fine. Alhamdulillah. And this hadith is narrated by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. This hadith is sahih beyond doubt. And this is from the virtues of Ali radiallahu anhu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us with him and Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and all the sahaba radiallahu anhum from the muhajirun and the ansar in Jannah. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. My dear brothers and sisters, moving forth from the lessons of this hijrah is the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visited Abu Bakr and used to visit Abu Bakr. And we know this because when he went to the house of Abu Bakr during the heat of the day, from the narrations we cited pertaining to this hijrah, was that statement that this is an odd time for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to visit us. So what do we learn from this? That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam frequently visited who? Abu Bakr. And this is also from the virtues of Abu Bakr. We cited many virtues yesterday, right? So this is from the virtues of Abu Bakr. Now we learn from this, for those who ponder a little bit, especially in the 21st century, that those who are older can go and visit those who are younger. Those who are older can go and visit those who are younger. Some cultures, they don't believe in this. They say, no, we older, they must come visit us. We will not go visit them. In Islam, no. The old can go visit the young. And you know what, my dear brothers and sisters? This is great tarbiyah. This is great tarbiyah. That when you go visit the young, you teach the young the importance of visiting the elders and the younger as well. Right? Because every generation we go into, that generation enjoys certain specifics. And I say enjoys in inverted commas. But they enjoy certain specifics that gives this generation a mindset that the previous generation did not have. It's not that the younger generation doesn't value you. They just don't value visiting anybody. It didn't ever occur to them the need to do so. If you as an elder go and visit them, you teach them the importance of going to visit others, those who are younger and those who are older. And also you happen to celebrate this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or the sunnah. So the next time you go visit someone younger than you, remember we spoke earlier, tie everything to Allah. How do you tie this visit to Allah? By saying, today I want to walk in the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to visit those who are younger, so I'm doing that today. That is a lesson. Also, my dear brothers and sisters, from the lessons that we learn from this hijrah, is that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to meet Abu Bakr during the heat of the day, the hadith says that he sought permission to enter. We learn from this a few etiquettes. Etiquettes pertaining to what? Etiquettes pertaining to visiting one another. The number one, when you visit somebody, seek permission to enter. Don't just barge into their home. Don't just barge into their presence. Right? Don't just barge into their phone. You see their phone, you start going through their phone. This is wrong. This is entering somebody's private space. Right? We shouldn't be searching each other's phones. We shouldn't be doing that. We shouldn't be walking into other people's homes. We shouldn't be walking into people's private place and private property except with permission. And this lesson becomes highly manifested because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more deserving than the believers. An-nabiyyu awla bil mu'minin. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more deserving than the believers. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could get a female married without her wali present, because he has a greater right to her than her wali. He cares for her more than her wali. The gift he's given her is more than her wali, because he came with Islam and he came with the teachings about how Allah wants to be worshipped. So he has a special place. But even though he has the special place, he also has to seek permission to enter somebody's home. If this was the case with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then understand that this is even more the case with us. And we can take this discussion further, like eavesdropping, listening into people's conversations. This is you entering their private place. This is not allowed. Peeping into their homes. This is not allowed. And since we're talking about the etiquettes, from the etiquettes, as Allah tells us in Surah Nur, in ayah number 58, Allah says, that, or in this ayah, I'm getting a tongue twister now, huh? In ayah number 58 in Surah Nur, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, He prevents the young children from entering people's private space at three times in the day: before Fajr, at the time of the noon rest or the qaylula, which is the short nap, and after the Isha prayer. Revise ayah number 58 from Surah Nur, right? So, but the scholars say that yes, this is by default, you're not allowed to visit people at this time, but if you do, you must seek permission before entering. Now we know the young children, they enter into people's spaces because they're young. But even the young children here were told, do not enter people's private spaces at these three times of the day unless you seek permission. Which teaches us why we see in the sunnah, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went for the hijrah, the comment was made that this is an odd time for Rasulullah to visit us. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't visit at midday. And we know the instruction in the Quran as well, that Allah says at this time of the day, don't visit, and if you visit, seek permission and only enter when permission is granted. This is a lesson. And that's why that comment was made, that this is an odd time. If he's here, there's some great matter that has happened. And what is that great matter? That Allah has commanded him to do the hijrah. Right? So, my dear brothers and sisters, this is from the etiquettes. Whilst we're on the etiquettes, should we take a couple more? Alright, from the etiquettes, when you go to somebody's house and you knock their door, knock once. If you don't hear an answer, knock twice. If you don't hear an answer, knock three times. If you don't hear an answer, go back. Farji'u, go back. Go back. Don't keep on banging. I seen your car outside. I saw you driving into your driveway. I know you inside. Right? I can hear you talking. Open the door. Bang. This is not from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is not from his sunnah. And as Allah says in the Quran, if you are told to go back, go back. Which means from the etiquettes of visiting people is not to become upset when somebody says, brother, sister, I'm busy, please come back later. Today what happens? What happens? Somebody says, brother, I'm busy, huh? Please come back later. We take offense. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Is this how it is? Khair. Wait till you come to my house next time. Right? We want now tit for tat in that which is wrong. No, Allah says if you are told to go, go back. That is better for you. And from the Sahaba were those who wished, they wished and wished and wished that one day they could have been told to go back so they could practice the ayah in the Quran. Say, Alhamdulillah, we were told to go back, we've lived the ayah now. We actually went without feeling any remorse. We've lived the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is from the etiquette. Today we have bells. Today even when we phone people's mobile phones, don't phone more than three times. If they don't answer, let it be. And from the etiquette, brothers and sisters, when you visit somebody, is that after you knock their door, don't stand in the middle of the door. Stand towards the right or stand towards the left. But don't stand in a way that as soon as the door opens, you can see inside the home. And this is also from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? Because in reality, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, جُعِلَ الْإِسْتِئْذَانِ, the isti'dhan, seeking permission to enter, Allah has decreed it. Why? مِنْ أَجْلِ الْبَصَرِ, for your eyes, to protect your eyes from seeing that which you should not see. Which means, even when you get to somebody's door, don't stand in a way that you will see what is in their home before they give you permission to enter. And it happens naturally that sometimes the person opens the door, they still want to see who it is. And now, mashallah, you are filling your eyesight by looking into this person's home. This is wrong. This is wrong. From the etiquettes of visiting people is when somebody says, who is it? You don't say, me. It's me. Babe, who's me? Me. Babe, who's me? Right? No, you must say your name. And if there's many Ahmeds, for example, or any Muhammads, for example, then you must say your surname. Because the identity must be known. That's the right of the person who owns the house and is about to open the door. This is from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can go on, my dear brothers and sisters. The sunnah is rich of adab, Islamic morals, Islamic manners, Islamic etiquettes. Maybe we can do this in Malaysia one day. I taught it in Dubai over 2 days, almost 10 hours a day. Right? 10 hours on Saturday, 10 hours on Sunday. And I teach it in Knowledge International University as well, as a 4-month course, a 4-month program. Right? The sunnah is full of it. Wallahi, this sharia is rich. This sharia is pure. This sharia is holistic. It teaches us how to be with Allah. It teaches us how to be with each other. It teaches us how to be with our environments. It teaches us everything. I dare you to find me a system as robust and holistic as the sharia. My dear brothers and sisters, from the etiquettes, or should I say from the lessons, let's move off the etiquettes. From the lessons of this mighty hijrah is the lesson of looking after that which has been entrusted upon you. And we spoke about this yesterday, right? Because we said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though the hijrah was ibadah and it needed to be done, and it was a mighty event in Islamic history, and it was really the partition, right? The partition and that transition period from weakness to strength, even though Ali had to stay behind. Not just to sleep in the bed of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to assist the plan of, meaning as this was the plan of Allah, to assist Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's departure. Because the homes were different then. You know, sometimes you could see through the cracks. And if it looked like someone is in the bed, then this would allow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to further distance himself from Mecca. In his departure, nobody would suspect anything, because we can see there's a shadow in the bed, there's a shape in the bed, there's someone in the bed. This was the wisdom, right? So it wasn't just so that he stays in the bed. No, it was also so that he could give those matters of that was entrusted and given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam back to its rightful owners. My dear brothers and sisters, we learned the importance of this. We learned the importance of this. Never ever betray trust. Never ever. When someone gives you something to look after, give it back to them. And look after it as you would look after your own belongings. Number one. Number two. Even in business, even in inheritance, don't start investing money which is not yours. Sometimes it's been entrusted to you. Don't invest it without permission. Don't start turning the money. Don't start making unilateral business decisions when you're a partner and somebody else has 50% right in that decision. You must look after the trust, because your partner has trusted you just like you have trusted your partner. I'm trying to bring this lesson into the 21st century, because today these are the problems we have. People investing in people's inheritance without their permission. People making unilateral decisions when the decision-making process requires the signature of the other party, requires their go-ahead, they stamp their approval. You make a unilateral decision. And sometimes what's even worse, we invest their money, we make a profit, we keep all the profit for ourselves and return their capital. We say, well, you didn't need it. You didn't need it, right? Say, but brother, I didn't give it to you to save keep. We partners in the business. Naturally, you're a signatory on the account. Say, yeah, but anyway, you got what was there. This was just a deal that popped up and I needed the money and the money was there, so I used it. No, my dear brothers and sisters, this is not ethical. This is not ethical. And understand how the sharia is robust again, and how valuable the ethics of the sharia is, right? I don't want to go into a deep detailed discussion, because this is a long discussion, and we have had some muamalat and financial discussions here in the masjid in some of our other lessons. And perhaps if Allah wills, I will come back to Malaysia and we will discuss mu'amalat from a more holistic perspective. And look at these ethics that the sharia has put into place and why. And how Islamic finance and economics and transactions differs to capitalism or neo-capitalism and communism and other systems, inshallah. This is perhaps something that will happen in the future. There is interest here, and I have also made a sincere intention to come back and teach this. So I don't want to go into it in detail now, but I want to coin food for thought. Look after the trust, my dear brothers and sisters. We learned this great lesson from the hijrah. May Allah grant us the understanding. Ameen. And may Allah make us strong against shaytan. Ameen. From the lessons, my dear brothers and sisters, we learn the importance of financial independence. Where do we learn this from? When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the quicker animal of Abu Bakr, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I take it with its price. Meaning you will receive its amount. This teaches us, brothers and sisters, that it's more befitting that we do not behave as as people that receive charity. It's more befitting that we remain as the charitable and give out charity. It's more befitting that we are not concerned about that which is in the hands of people, but we work hard to establish ourselves by ourselves. Of course, after seeking assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember this, my dear brothers and sisters. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is highlighting this. He's saying, "But I will take it, but with its price. I may not have it now, but you will get its price. Whether Abu Bakr wants to take it, doesn't want to take it, that's a different thing. But what did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say?" And we learn from this that sometimes, yes, we are with people, naturally, we have generous friends. Whenever we go out to eat, they always pay. Whenever we go out shopping, they always pay. So now we make a habit, we just leave our wallet at home all the time. Right? Don't do that. Don't do that. Because it's your own character development. Sometimes say, no, I'm saying today you are not paying. Today you will not pay, I will be paying. I know you're generous, may Allah reward you. Don't keep the rewards for yourself. Share the khair, let us also participate. This is good for your own character, your own development, your own mindset, your own confidence, right? Now, the scholars say that the reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specifically said that I will take this animal on condition of its price is because hijrah was an ibadah. Hijrah was an ibadah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to complete this ibadah with his wealth and himself. It wasn't just by himself. Everything about it, he wanted to pay. It's ibadah. It's ibadah. So by its price, I want to complete this ibadah with my wealth and myself. Right, brothers and sisters? Right? So this is definitely more noble. And al-jaza min jinsil amal. Rewards are proportionate to effort. If the effort is greater, the rewards are greater. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is looking after his ibadah from all aspects. This doesn't mean that, you know, you're not allowed to take money from someone to go for hajj. No. But we're talking about what's noble and what lesson we learn from this. And if we just stretch the discussion, my dear brothers and sisters, then let me highlight for you all the importance of also enabling people when we are charitable to them. Sometimes, yes, Allah has given us, and mashallah, this is a masjid, mashallah, that time and time again, wherever I went in Kuala Lumpur, they say, أَنْتَ مَعَ إِلْيَةِ الْقَوْمِ, that you are staying with the affluent of society of KL, in the Damansara Heights, mashallah. The people here are wealthy, the people here are affluent, so perhaps this message is conducive to my audience, right? My dear brothers and sisters, what the Sharia loves is for you to be charitable in a way that enables people, not break them. You don't be charitable to them in a way where they become dependent on you. And there's greater harm that befalls them the day you cannot be charitable to them again. Always remember this. In the English language we say, don't give a man a fish, give him a net. If you give him a net, he'll have a fish every day. If you give him a fish, tomorrow he'll need a fish again, he's stuck. Right? I add to that. I say, don't give him a net. Teach him how to make the net also. Because you might have a hole in the net after some months, he'll be stuck again. So teach him how to make the net and teach him which materials are needed. This is how you enable people, brothers and sisters. Right? So enable people. Enable them. Grow them to a position where they can start being charitable to other people. Indeed, this is more beloved to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because this is of greater benefit to the community. Does that make sense, brothers and sisters? And Allah knows best. From the lessons, there's so many lessons, walillahi alhamd. From the lessons, my dear brothers and sisters, just following on from this, my dear brothers and sisters, and this is for a lesson for those who are propagating Islam. Because we see today, in some circles, propagation doesn't happen unless the price is met. Unless the price is met. I'm not saying that du'at, you know, shouldn't become rich. I'm not saying that du'at shouldn't be looked after by the community. In fact, the community must understand that the du'at are more important than medical doctors. And the reality is we live in a world that the du'at, you know, they're not looked after. They may be an imam, they may be a teacher, they don't get paid as well as others do. So the community must come together and honor the du'at, where you look after them without them having this need to stipulate, right? But the message is, my dear brothers and sisters, we should not put ourselves in a position in the da'wah where we say, I will come and teach you about Allah and His Rasul on condition you pay me an X amount. And if you don't agree, then I'm not coming. Because this fiddles with the intention. We're all human beings. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants this ibadah to happen with himself and his wealth. Right? If someone gives you a gift, that's a different story. If you say, look, it's advisable, please, this is a request, because I am going to leave some of my work in the hours that I'm coming to teach you. I'm not coming to teach you for the money, but this is a request. If you are unable, I'm still going to come, inshallah, because teaching about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is ibadah. You want to do it by default with yourself as well as your wealth. Right? So to my young people in the audience here, right, as you're growing up, some, mashallah, have told me they are inspired to become scholars and they're inspired to go study Islam and they're inspired. Yes, be inspired, my dear brothers and sisters. But don't be inspired to do it because, mashallah, there's a lot of travel that can happen. Some people say, mashallah, you know, Sheikh, you're traveling here, you're traveling there. I say, brother, that's not the reason why you should go study Islam. Right? Right? Someone in Malaysia told me the other day that there was one propagator who visited Malaysia and said, in appearance fees to give talks, in 1 year, he made hundreds of thousands of dollars. Allahu Akbar. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. I mean, even businessmen don't make this in a year. And he actually said that I made this from appearance fees, going to give talks and going to teach. So now what happens to the youth? Whoa. Now it's lucrative, man. We need to go and study. Let's go and look for Islamic institutes. Right? They're not so strict about O levels and A levels anyway. We can travel and we can make hundreds of thousands of dollars. No, my dear brothers and sisters. And whoever makes hundreds of thousands is fadl from Allah, and alhamdulillah. But this is not something that should be advertised. And I think there should be a level of sanctity that should always accompany anything about Islam and propagating Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we said earlier, he was more deserving than the Muslims. He could have taken this from Abu Bakr and said, that's it, I'm taking your animal. But he stipulated by its price. Teaching us that, you know, this ibadah with your wealth and yourself has greater weight, number one. Number two, matters of the sharia have a sanctity that should be looked after. Don't commercialize. Don't culturalize. Don't industrialize. You know, everything, when it becomes an industry, it becomes dangerous. When food became an industry, we saw what happened to food. It started becoming genetically modified. Right? The medical field is also an industry today. With medicines, all sorts of medicines are coming about. All sorts of tests. Inconclusive tests sometimes. Get the product to the market. Main thing is people take it. The other day somebody told me, subhanallah, you know, what's pharmacy, the pharmaceutical industry, you know what it's about? It's about prolonging your sickness, so you keep on buying the medicine. Allahu musta'an. When everything becomes an industry, it becomes dangerous. The da'wah should not become an industry. It shouldn't be commercialized. Its sanctity should be protected. And may Allah enrich the du'at. Ameen. May Allah make them the richer, the richest of the rich. Ameen. With money in their hands and not in their heart. Because indeed, in this day and age, when you have wealth, people see you as honor. When in fact, ilm is more beneficial than wealth. A man of ilm is not seen like a man of wealth is seen, unfortunately. Even though when you spend wealth, it decreases. When you spend ilm, it increases. Even though wealth you have to look after, you have to put it in a safe. But ilm looks after you. Subhanallah, it protects you from haram. It protects you from doing wrong. So take this, my dear brothers and sisters. From the lessons of the hijrah is tawakkul. And we discussed this in the earlier episodes when we spoke about the conversation between Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he said, لا تحزن إن الله معنا. Don't be afraid, Allah is with us. What is your view, O Abu Bakr, with regards to two people? And Allah is the third. And you know what's amazing? He said, what is your view about two people? He didn't say, what is the view of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Abu Bakr? And Allah is the third. He didn't mention his name. He didn't mention Abu Bakr's name. Meaning what? Total reliance is on who? On Allah. Not my status as a messenger. Not your status as my companion. Total reliance is on Allah. What is your view, O Abu Bakr, of two people? And Allah is the third. And Allah says in the Quran, إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ. When he says to his companion, don't be afraid. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. Indeed, Allah is with us. So this is the lesson of tawakkul. That put your trust in Allah. It all goes back to Allah. Not a prophet that was sent. Not an angel that was sent. It goes back to Allah. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have said, Abu Bakr, don't worry, you are with the messenger of Allah. He could have said that. But he kept his name out of it. Look at the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, what is your view of two people? Khalas. Not a messenger, not a companion of a messenger, two people. Irrelevant, it doesn't matter who we are. What matters is Allah is the third. What matters is you rely in Allah. He is the protector. May Allah grant us the understanding. Ameen. We also learn, my dear brothers and sisters, from the story and conversation between Abu Bakr and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the importance of calming people in distress. We should calm people in distress. Calm them down. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is calming Abu Bakr. When people are distressed, calm them down. Somebody had a car accident, calm him down. Don't go there and say, yeah, I told you so. You see, you speed, you don't listen, you deserve what you got, you didn't wear your seatbelt, you see? That's not the right thing. That's not the time or the place to be saying these things. Person is distressed. There's a time and place for everything. No, calm the person down. This is from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's calming Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Right? Him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is calming Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. We also learn, my dear brothers and sisters, and time is running by, that the cave is a haven. The cave is a haven. And I want you to go back to season 1 of Blast from the Past when I discussed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the cave of Hira. We discussed this and we talk about how you and I need a cave in our life as well. Not a real cave. Don't go now start bringing rocks into your home because your wives won't be happy, right? But what I mean is a metaphorical cave where you switch off your mobile phones, you switch off from society, you switch off from your family, and you have what I've been telling you, have that thinking day. Have that thinking day where you think, you go into your cave. The cave of Hira was khair and goodness for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This cave in the mountain of Thawr was khair and goodness for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr. In the story of the people of the Kahf, that cave was safety for them. People were chasing them because they were worshipping Allah and declaring Allah as one. Allah makes the cave time and time again. This place of solace and solitude, this place to have your therapeutic moments, a means of goodness for you, a means for you to connect to your fitrah, that inner voice calling you to Allah, calling you to Allah. Oh, servant of Allah, turn back to Allah. Oh, servant of Allah, money in your hands, not in your heart. Oh, servant of Allah, don't lose hope in Allah. Oh, servant of Allah, where are you going with this? There's the grave, the angel of death is coming. Oh, servant of Allah, worship one Allah. Yes, that voice is calling, calling, calling. But the noise of social media and society drowns it out. We need a cave. When we get into that cave, now we can hear it. Ala kulli hal, revise season 1. How many minutes till adhan, akhil kareem? 1 minute? Tayyib, from the lessons that we learn, my dear brothers and sisters, is the permissibility of hiring a non-Muslim. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr, or Abu Bakr in particular, he hired Abdullah ibn Urayqat, and we discussed this, the guide. He was a non-Muslim. As long as he's trustworthy, you can hire him. And imagine, you know, for a person to be your guide, you have to trust the person. Because he could guide you into the path of the Quraysh, right? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr trusted him, thus they hired him. So this is with regards to hiring someone who's not a believer, right? So we see that, you know, even as a Muslim, we live with each other on a human level. Because even a Muslim, if he's not trustworthy, do you hire him? No. It's not specific to religion. If he's not practicing Islam and being trustworthy, you shouldn't hire him. He's going to cause you distress. But this isn't specific to hiring. The other discussion with the scholars is taking assistance from Muslims and non-Muslims. And inshallah, we will discuss this when we discuss the Battle of Hunain in future episodes and seasons of Blast from the Past. I thought this is the last lesson. Let me entice you to follow future seasons, inshallah. Let's wait for the adhan, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, if it's time. And the masjid has kindly given me permission to continue after the adhan. I hope you also afford me that permission. Barakallahu feekum. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. My dear brothers and sisters, continuing sufli, from the lessons we learn the importance of keeping our tongues moist with the remembrance of Allah. Where do we learn this from? One of the professional trackers that was looking for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a man by the name of Suraqa ibn Malik. This man says that when I got close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I could hear him reciting the Quran. Which means this hijrah was going on and on and on and on, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His tongue is moist with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as part and parcel of our daily life is to have that tongue when we're in traffic, when we're in our vehicles, when we're cooking in the kitchen, when we have a moment. We should keep our tongues moist with that which is the best thing the tongue can do. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the best remembrance is the recitation of the Qur'an. The best remembrance is the recitation of the Qur'an. So remember this, my dear brothers and sisters. From this hijrah we learn the importance of keeping our tongues moist. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book, وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ. Allah praises those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly. They remember Allah abundantly. Allah praises them greatly. Now, a couple of ponderings before we end, my dear brothers and sisters. Pondering number one. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves Mecca. You can only imagine that he's looking over his shoulder. يَتَرَقَّبْ. Obviously that, you know, he's calm, Allah is revealing to him, but he's looking over his shoulder because this is a hijrah and you're escaping a surge party. Which other prophet left his city looking over his shoulder? Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam had to run away looking over his shoulder. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves looking over his shoulder. Who had the great ending? Who had the great ending? The people who were chasing these people out, or the people who were chased out? The people who were chased out. So it's not a sign of weakness, my dear brothers and sisters. It's not a sign of you being incorrect if you are, for example, imprisoned. For example, if you are kicked out of your society, your community, your country. It doesn't mean that, oh well, he was kicked out, so he must be wrong. This is not a sign. Learn this from the hijrah. If you are upon evidence and dalil, stick to it. Look after your values. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was kicked out, but he was right. And the good end came to him. Musa alayhi salam was kicked out. He was running away from a people, but he was right. And a good end came to him as well. This is the first pondering. The truth will always remain. The truth will always remain. No matter how many people fight it, no matter how long the fight goes on for, the truth will always stand on top. The truth will always ya'lu, go above. وَلَا يُعْلَى عَلَيَّ. Nothing will overcome it. This is the reality of the truth, brothers and sisters. So never ever become apologetic with the truth, as we discussed in earlier episodes. The other pondering, subhanAllah, is, you know, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes manifest how special a person is by pairing them with a people who think and feel that they're special, and then He shows how more special these people who Allah has honored over them. What do I mean by this? Well, remember when Allah said He's going to create mankind, the angel said, the angels didn't dispute, but they asked Allah about it. That, are you going to create these people who are going to create fasad and corruption and so on and so forth? Right? And obviously, they were highlighting the fact that they are not people, they are not a creation of fasad and corruption. Right? So they have a status that this man will not have. What did Allah do? Allah taught Adam the words. And when the angels were questioned about some words, they didn't know. And when Adam was questioned, he knew. So the honor of Adam was established. The honor of Adam was established. Same thing like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amidst a people who think they know, but they don't know. They think they know better. We have Abu Jahl running around before the hijrah, saying, Muhammad is promising you to have leadership over the Arabs and the non-Arabs. Because he knew we're going to kill him now. Right? People who think they know better. And Allah showers nusra and assistance and help. As Allah says in the Quran, فَقَدْ نَصَرَهُ اللَّهِ, that Allah helped him, Allah gets him to escape from a people who think they have perfection. So what happens? Allah establishes who the true honor is with. This is a pondering. Wallahi, we can go on, but we have to end. Allahul Musta'an. Allahul Musta'an. In any case, my dear brothers, fathers, mothers, sisters, uncles, aunties, we have come to the end of season 2 of Blast from the Past in episode 25. You know, when we started episode 21, we were like, subhanAllah, episode 21, we still have to go all the way to 25. Well, we say all praises belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah bi ni'mati tatimmu salihat. Indeed, it is Allah who brought us here. It is Allah who showered upon us blessings to complete goodness. We wanted to cover the hijrah. Allah took us to the point where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reaches Medina. Yes, there are more lessons we could have taken from the hijrah. But nonetheless, if you can't take something in its entirety, don't leave it in its entirety. And I hope you are excited and encouraged now to pick up a copy of the seerah and read about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ponder over it and ask yourself where it applies in your daily life. What a journey. What moments, what lessons. It's come to an end. But the hard work still remains in front of us. No room to relax. Have Eid, but don't relax. We still have to ponder. We still have to reflect. And we still have to act. Because excellence is in following Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Acting. Excellence is in acting, brothers and sisters. Not reading. Not listening. Putting it into practice. This is where excellence is. Excellence is in following him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and following those who followed him. As Allah says in Surah Tawbah, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ. What about them? رَضِيَ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. Allah talks about the front runners and the first from the muhajirun, those who migrated from Mecca, and the Ansar, those who received the muhajirun. And who else? Those who followed the muhajirun and the Ansar. بإحسان, in excellence. What does Allah say about those who followed and acted? رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه. Allah is happy with them and they are pleased and happy with Allah. So don't forget, my dear brothers and sisters, you know, we always say, we really enjoyed that talk. We really enjoyed the episode. This enjoyment happens when you put it into practice. This is not entertainment, brothers and sisters. This is teaching the inheritance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not about enjoyment. Enjoyment only happens when you put it into practice. May Allah grant us the understanding. My dear brothers and sisters, it's been an honor, wallahi. You have all honored me with your attentive ears and minds and hearts, with your desire to get this season produced as well, mashallah. I've heard some wonderful support from the masjid that this will come out in DVD and produced, alhamdulillah, so more lives can be touched. Wallahi, I feel honored. To Masjid Umar, you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man la yashkur innas la yashkur Allah." That the one who doesn't thank the people cannot thank Allah. Because thanking Allah is the greater thanks, and thanking the people is the lesser thanks. So in celebrating this hadith, I don't want to praise, I want to follow this hadith. I offer a sincere gratitude. Because wallahi, I have no words to Masjid Umar. I have no words to Brother Raja. Wallahi, he's become a real brother, even though he's much older than me. He can be my father or even grandfather, right? But we've become like brothers, mashallah. You know, to Brother Raja Diyauddin, you've heard his name time and time again in our episodes. Because we've been spending the days together and we share ideas and we share thoughts, right? So to my dear brother Raja Diyauddin, to the masjid committee, the entire committee, mashallah, everyone downstairs and everyone upstairs, to the imams, to the muaddins, to even those who are looking after my room, mashallah, and surprising me with different bedding and different colors of towels every now and again. I go out for a program, I come back, see, wow, it's like a hotel. New color bedding, new color towels, mashallah. Wallahi, you've been so hospitable, mashallah. To them, to the cooks, to the cleaners, to the guards, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you all better than you dream. Ameen. May Allah accept from you, and may Allah make your reward no other reward except having a house next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah. This is a sincere dua from my heart to Masjid Umar and its people. I have no words, wallahi. All I can say is that inshaAllah, your rewards are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear brothers and sisters, may Allah accept our Ramadan. And last but not least, let me extend a heartfelt gratitude to you all for your attentive ear. If you weren't listening, at least you showed me that you were, so I'm grateful. But inshallah, you were listening. I thank you for your grateful, for your attentive ear. I'm grateful for that. I want to thank our sisters who pulled me out in the morning and said, "Khalas, you have to give us Fajr lessons every day." They gave me a chance to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again. Jazakumullahu khairan to each and every one of you. My dear brothers and sisters, may Allah accept our Ramadan. Ameen. All of it. Ameen. Our fasting, our standing, our searching for the night of power, our charity, our learning, our good character, our kindness, our dua. May Allah accept all of it. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us better than we dream. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala write us from amongst those that have witnessed the night of power, and write us from amongst those that are freed from the hellfire. Ameen. May Allah grant us death whilst He's pleased with us. May Allah grant us death when angels from Jannah come to receive our soul. Ameen. May Allah grant us a grave which is a garden from the gardens of Jannah. May Allah grant us shade underneath His arsh on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah ease our standing in front of Him. And may Allah grant us our book of deeds in our right hands. Ameen. May Allah ease our journey to Jannah and grant us speed on the bridge reaching to Jannah. Ameen. And may Allah not only give us Jannah, but give us Jannah with Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Give us homes next to him so we can visit him daily and tell him about that amazing Ramadan in Malaysia, in Kuala Lumpur, in 2015, in 1436. Let's look after the Hijri date. We spend time and time, night after night, learning about his life and understanding how relevant his life was to us then when we lived in the 21st century. May Allah grant us that honor. Ameen. May Allah gather us in Jannah the same way he has gathered us here in this masjid. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Last but not least, my dear brothers and sisters, Masjid Umar is my home. You are all my neighbors. And I have a sincere intention to come back, even if it's just to meet you. Not to lecture you, to meet you. And I hope I get this right. As final words. Kalau ada samar di ladang. Boleh kami menempang mandi. Kalau ada umur yang panjang. Boleh kita berjumpa lagi. Salamat hari raya. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته